Well, when we've been taking that 11th verse apart of Romans 8. And one of the most important things we're finding out about that verse, and until he revealed it to me, my faith was 1 degree off. And that's okay when the target's only an inch away. You know, but if it's 100 yards or a quarter of a mile away, then boy, by the time the bullet gets to what you think is dead center, it'll be several degrees off. And so it's okay, you know, if the target's an inch away. But long term, it's no good. But my faith was a degree off. Because like many people, I kept trying to get the Holy Spirit to do what he's already been commissioned to do. And then I found out that the Holy Spirit can be taken hostage. And many, many preachers have him in a no production operation and mode locked up on the inside of them. Not just preachers, anybody they teach ends up pretty much like that. Well, the fact that he can be locked up in there, even the language being fluent in the person he's locked up in, meaning they can speak freely when they speak. And he said that concerning praying with tongues about charity and things, that though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, then, and you can have the Holy Spirit and go down that whole list and he'll profit you nothing. Though I have faith to move all mountains and have not that love, it profits me nothing. When he said, speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, profits me nothing. And all of us, we jump up and herald. You can pray in tongues all you want. And if you don't have love, it won't profit you nothing. Nick. Wrong. What he was saying, you can have the Holy Spirit. You can have the supernatural language. But if you don't pray in tongues, then it won't profit you anything. As you can sit there powerless all your life and be a degree off. Well, my faith was a degree off. See, and it's an amazing thing when the emotions can control a human being. You have to understand, your emotions are subordinate to the new nature you received when you were born again. They don't have the power to control you, whether they're trying to herald depression or trying to herald pleasure. They have already positionally been rendered powerless, that there's more power in your spirit waiting to reign over that realm than's needed. So if that realm reigns over you, there's just one problem. You're not reigning out of your spirit. Now, it's also an amazing thing. The thing the devil uses to take people out with in emotions is on the top of the list. Why do you stop doing something? Yeah, we say that the will, many, many men survived concentration camps and torment because of their will. When it comes down to live or die, and you want to live, you had to resort to the will. But then most of them used their will to create a little world on the inside of their mind and prison that they created, where their emotions were brought under subjection to the prison or the torment that they is in. This is why they'll teach you, you know, before emotions can get inside and control you, most pressure comes from the outside. It's all external. Somehow it gets inside. Well, when it gets inside, then you're creating that world in you that's on the outside. You know, and that's why they got those cute little sayings, when you're under pressure, you know, suck on your thumb and create a happy little world for yourself. It'll keep your body from breaking down and sustain you. But just the will has sustained many spiritually dead prisoners. I was watching a special on some peacekeeping. A foundation that goes over and gets people out of prison and things like. In China, there was a Tibetan monk that had been tormented, tortured in prison for 33 years. Trying to get him to deny his faith. And you know he's not born again. But one thing they do practice as part of their religion is peace. Anyway, he said they shocked him. They shocked his face. They shocked him all over his body. And they did this for 33 years. Trying to break him. And they could not. Well, it's a strange thing. A person who gets, whose emotions control them. And they get mad. And they'll come to church a while. And they'll get mad and not come. And one of the best things you could do is get strong enough to put your emotions aside, to subject yourself to the presence of God and the worship and the Word out of the mind of Christ, whatever He wants to say to you. Because in that is the instruction and the fellowship to get past all of it. One of the worst things a person can do is stay away from God and those emotional fits and depressions, because if you could have got yourself healed before you came, then you'd already been healed. Amen. Now, my faith was a degree off, because it's a common thing, but look around. Look around. Why is the Holy Spirit sitting there with all the promises He's commissioned to fulfill, yet He just can barely work? And I'm not going to pick on sheep. Let's pick on preachers. In most camps, he can barely work. In other words, you leave the service and then you open up to the works Jesus said is available. There isn't much resemblance. Thank God the guy can talk. Yes? Then we can certainly take the Holy Spirit hostage. And it's not because He's not commissioned to do everything that Jesus has redeemed us from and that He's been given to do. I mean, here, He doesn't need any coaxing. They don't work like that. See, this thing has already been established, and He's commissioned to move into anything Jesus has redeemed you from. If He can't do that, it's because we won't let Him. Well, I'm trying to get Him to, and you're wasting your time. You can't get Him to move into something that He's already been commissioned to move into. If He's not moving into it, it's because He can't. And you coaxing Him won't get Him to do it under present situation. The way you can get Him to do it is go to the place where He's free to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this is why it's a great disservice when men of God will stand there and teach us that everything's ours just the way we are. Well, it's ours just the way we are, all right. But it's ours just the way we are in Christ Jesus. Well, He's not moving for me, then you're not in Him in that part. Now, if I break down to blaming somebody, it's not going to be God. So gird yourself up. But if you want results, then you're going to have to hear what the Word says. Now, what's peace? Peace is nothing but a resounding stillness in your spirit that's finally dominated the emotional part of the soul. You think I want to dismiss emotions? Are you kidding? Emotions is the spice of life. Are you kidding? All I did was dismiss the ones that was against me. Hallelujah. Woo! You're dismissed. Hallelujah. That's why when you come into my world and flying apart like a cheap clock, okay, You know, I'll just watch. And I know that world's real to you because you gave it the power to be real. But it is not the real world that He reigns out of. Hallelujah. He says the kingdom of God is not eat meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the dominion of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Well, what's being a degree off? You know, as far as your flesh is concerned, it can only be perfected in the state that it is in. You can bring all the strongholds, you can cleanse them out and bring the operation of the flesh totally under subjection, subordinate to that new nature. It'll rule and reign over it. But as far as the flesh is concerned in its nature, there's only so far you can take it. You can cleanse all the strongholds and then walk in a place in the Spirit where it can't even raise its head to try to get the best of you. And trust me when I say Satan will continue try to reseed your flesh realm. He'll try to get something, reseed it to get you to react in so he can cultivate a garden and walk again with you, you know, like he used to. If he can't have your spirit, he'll take second best, just mess everybody else up through your flesh. You know? So you can only cleanse so much, and then the trump will sound. You know, or this thing will turn back into dust. Or the trump will sound. And when the trump sounds, something similar that's happened in your spirit is going to happen in your body. You're going to go from corruptible to incorruptible in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and get a glorified body. Adoption process will be complete. But meanwhile, this body is being cleansed, but it is not going from glory to glory like your spirit is. Well, here we've got this first little realm of glory here. And we're free in our new nature. And it's sending signals to the whole rest of our life saying that I'm here to quicken the mortal body. I'm a condemned sin in the flesh. I'm where faith comes from. I'm here to take you all the way. So here you are in this realm here. And you won't go from this glory to this glory. But in this realm, see, I just like to hold on to the carnal appetites and things I walk in right now. I just like myself the way I am. I like to walk after money and all different things. Just don't bother me in that area. But, Holy Spirit, I would like you to operate in the glory of this realm. Need I remind you that God snuck one in on you? Need I remind you when He looked down at you, poor naive creature wearing that physical man with that new nature just crying for help? And He said, how can we help these people? And God said, the only way you can help someone like that is supply the prayer for them. Without them even know what you're praying, so you can get past all their greed and stuff, you know. I mean, what do you want? What do you want God to come and dress you to? He's doing your praying for you. He's bypassed the flesh and the sense man and the emotions of the soul, went right for the spirit, borrowed your authority right from the very depth of that candle that's been lit, way down, just the basic new nature that suddenly come into life. He goes right to the core, the little atomic power plant there, and says, can I borrow impending victory from you, new nature, and use it to pray out of so this whatever he is will have a chance? Then I just love it when them that seem to be someone among them that knows everything stands up and says,
I'm praying too much in tongues. and you'll get weird.
Well, the reason they think you're weird is you stopped walking in the flesh like they did. So my faith was 1 degree off because I kept trying to get the Holy Spirit to do things that He's already authorized to do. And of course you have faith. Of course you ask God. And of course all those kinds of things. But what you need to do is let Him bring you from glory to glory. Because God doesn't have two things to use. He only has one. Not two. He only has one. And that is that nature that you received when you were born again. That's deposited on the inside of your spirit. Not two things. When God comes to do something through you, He only has that one thing to use. Not two. He says it's by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He brings life and quickens your mortal body. Well, in Romans 8 here, when we got to this 11th verse, what it did then was it made the adjustment to my 1 degree off. Changed my whole life. We call it the born again trail. Amen. Set my feet to dancing. Hallelujah. I've been having the best time. I've never enjoyed church so much in my whole long existence. Hallelujah. Well, looking at this then, this 11th verse, just one more time as we kick in and go back and study that life that's in us that came from God. So the 11th verse says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if the Spirit that is of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that brought His Spirit from death to life, dwell in you. See, and that's after Jesus died in our place and we was baptized into His death, that we might also be of His resurrection. That's the Spirit He's talking about, because yours is dead. And so that same process that when His died, that brought Him from death to life, is the same one that's bringing you from death to life. It's called the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Well, that is the Spirit of Him. Now, of course, I and all the other Pentecostal preachers that enlightened me, I believe for a long time that was the Holy Spirit. That the mention of the Holy Spirit doesn't take place for a few more verses. But see, I didn't know that because I had Romans 7 out of order. But look what he's saying then. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and indeed it does. I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live. But not I, not the old man anymore. He's dead. But it is Christ that liveth in me. Ooh, that's that born again human spirit. In the life I now live in that new man, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live out of that new nature, out of the new man. Tomorrow is not a new day. It's the first day. Because everything I've been forgiven of today doesn't go into tomorrow. It's the first day. I have no past. Hello. You mean I can receive this? That's right. That's right. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He, the Father, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by what? Not two things. He only has one thing. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, the 12th verse, therefore, or because of this, my brethren, we are debtors no longer to that death nature and to the flesh to live after it anymore. For if you live after that death nature and its operation in your flesh, you'll die. But if you, through the Spirit, the new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are now led by that new nature, the Spirit of God, they are His sons. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that spirit that Adam gave you and the spiritual death you inherited from him, but you've now received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I have been born again. Now he mentions the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit itself bears witness with my human spirit that's been born again that we are the children of God. Whew. Backing up again. But if the Spirit of Him, that law of the Spirit of life that was in Christ Jesus when God brought Him from death to life, I was baptized into His death so He could also then operate that law and bring me from death to life. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and indeed it does, He that raised up Christ, that's the Father, from the dead, shall also quicken or bring life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, you know, He says, what the law couldn't do, that it was weak through the flesh. And he was talking again about the Jew, Romans 7 and 8, what the law couldn't do, that it was weak through their flesh, that is a spiritually dead nature, administrating it through their flesh. It was weak through the flesh. God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and by sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It's been condemned. It has no power plant to draw from to force you into doing anything that you will not do. Well, I like this part of it too, as we begin the born again trail on. That not only did He condemn sin in the flesh, but He condemned all its relatives and cousins and aunts and uncles and nephews. All His friends. What do you think sickness and disease is a result of the life Adam had or the death? Well, then it's a friend, a spiritual death. It was condemned to. Hallelujah. What do you think poverty was? A friend of Adam's life or a friend of his death? Then that was condemned too. Because as a son of God, I got one whale of an inheritance. And He's willing to give it to me to inherit the world with. And I plan on doing it. Right now, I'm not interested in the natural world near as much as I am the spiritual world, because it and the works in it is going to burn. The only thing it won't burn is that was carried over in the new creation. If I was you, I would build cities out of the born again spirits of just men made perfect. I know what my inheritance is for. I can only put one foot in one tundra at a time. And all it serves to do is the same as my feet does. Get me from one place to another. I like it because those emotions serve me. It brings me joy, but I don't worship it. Hallelujah. I thank God for my inheritance. Amen. Somebody asked me, well, how do I know God wants me to go somewhere? I'm believing for it. I'm believing for the money to go. Should I just step out on faith? I said, if you got a rhema, go ahead. Because you'll undoubtedly, what He says He'll do for you in a rhema, which is a spoken word, as far as direction is concerned, He will do it.
Well, what if He doesn't?
Then you didn't have a rhema, did you? Well, how do I know when He wants me to go then? I said, believe for the money. When it comes, go. It'll certainly put the limitations on your unbelief, won't it? Whew. Do you thank God for your inheritance? God doesn't have two things to work with. He only has one thing. He quickens my mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in me. I thank God for praying in tongues. I thank God for worshiping Him and for subjecting my soul to the meditation of the Word so my soul will work for me instead of against me. And He takes my spirit from glory to glory to glory. And every time we go to a new realm of glory, the Holy Ghost gets up that morning. He looks around at the new realm and He says, "Oh, I am free to do so much." Each realm you go to from glory to glory, the less you'll beg in that next realm. Hallelujah! Mancha de kese here. But I just want to look at that life. Just want to trace that life a little bit. Whatever that life, the same spirit of Him, the life that was in Jesus is now in me. And I want to trace that life just a little bit. Because the longer I hang around this and the more I trace that life, the more I understand the potential of who I am in Christ. And it's coming to pass what He promised me when my first glimpse down the born-again trail, when He said, "Son, all that I've ever promised you, it'll come to pass on this trail. And all that I've ever said I would do in my word, I will do." And the longer I hang around that life that's in me, as an adopted son of God that came from my Father, was placed in Jesus. And the same law that brought that to life in Him brought it to life in me. And that's what my Father uses to reign and to rule with, is the life He has placed in my spirit. If you lock it up, you'll be sick, defeated, and you'll go into glory with not much of a reward. If you let it out, you have the potential to change your generation like the men of old received a good report from God and changed the generations they walked in with the faith that they had. You can go home with so many people inheriting that life that you're walking in, that life that's from Jesus. It'll be a tremendous thing. Well, the more of Him you receive, the more focused you become. And there's only one thing that you want to do with your life then, is to become His servant. Believe me, you can't go into Him without wanting to become His servant. Are you listening to me? We say, "Well, I want to go into Him, have all the good things of God, but I don't want to become His servant." What do you think changes in you? You think you're going to go there and serve Him like that without your want to going there? See, this is why praying in tongues, "My want to doesn't want to go there." Then just shut that part of your mouth and open the other. The prayer He prays for you is going to be stronger than what you're walking in at the present time. Even if your doctrine is wrong, you keep praying in tongues. And after a while, you just won't be able to tolerate how wild the Holy Ghost goes in your spirit and in your authority when you are under subjection to something that is wrong and are past due to get out of it. God, what a safety valve. Let's trace that life a little bit. I want to find out what I have. Let's trace it a little bit. That's the part of me He uses. I want to know more about it than I've ever known in my whole life. I want to go in. Whew. Go to John the 5th chapter then. Let's pass in review on the origin of this life that you and I have that come from the Father and is now in us, the same life Jesus had. Now let's follow this very closely now. Let's begin. The 19th verse. Leading up to this 19th verse, the last time we taught on this pretty extensively was probably about 8 or 9 months ago. But out of my spirit, I cannot get that life out. And the great error of being a degree off and not understanding the part of us that we really need to develop if you really want to finish your course. So the only way we can get people to do that by faith is by bringing you into an understanding by hearing and hearing by the Word of God just who you are, instilling enough faith in you where you'll start believing now that you're going to end up where He says that you will. Well, Jesus had just healed the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, and he got in trouble for it from the religious sector. And he said, "You think this is great? I only do what I see my Father do." He said, "But if you think those miracles was great," he said, "listen to what I have to say to you now." In the 19th verse, "Then answered Jesus and said, Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth," that is the Father, "these also doeth the Son likewise." And the things He was talking about there is feeding the 5,000, 2 fishes, 5 loaves, raising the natural man from the dead. He was talking about the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, the blind eyes that they rubbed the clay in, on and on and on. He says the Son couldn't do nothing. The humanity of Jesus could do nothing in Himself. He said, out of that new nature, out of my nature that I have, not new yet because it never went old at this point. He said, I see my Father do these things. And so the Son does likewise. He said in the 20th verse, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him, the Son, greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now He said He'll show Him greater works than these. And the works that He was making reference to is all the works that was done by Jesus and the works done by the Old Testament saints in the form of every kind of miracle, including the parting of the Red Sea. All the miracles Jesus did, including the raising of the dead. He said, you marvel at these? The Father is about to show the Son greater than all of these. And then in the very next verse, He tells you what this is. He tells you what this greater work is when He says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth. And again, as we've taught you many times, the word quickeneth is usually referring to bringing a human spirit from death to life. Brings life. Resurrection refers to the physical body. So He said, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth or makes alive them, and if you know this, the word them is in italics, which means it wasn't there. For as the Father raises up the dead and makes alive, no them, even so the Son, He turns around and quickeneth or makes alive whom He will. And so King James put a them in there to try to clear this verse up so people would understand what He was saying. If this is what He was saying, for as the Father raises up the dead or raises up the Son, the greater work He'll show the Son, as the Father raises up the Son and makes Him alive, the Son turns around and quickeneth then whom He will and gives to you the same life the Father gave the Son. That's a greater work. And then the greater works, my God, He'll give the body of Christ that life. And the body of Christ will give the world that life. But that greater work that was done in Jesus, He quickened His spirit from death to life. And the Son then turned around and quickens whom He will. Look at this next verse. It gets so interesting. For the Father judgeth no man. Why not? Because He already judged every man in the Son. The Father judgeth no man. He hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Our judgment was laid on Jesus. All you have to do is accept Him. And then the Father judges no man. He judged the Son in your place. So He judged every man in the Son. To accept Jesus is to be already judged. I love this stuff. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth the Son, honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. For the Father has sent Him. Truly, truly, 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. And the condemnation he's talking about, that this man will not enter into, that he will not be condemned, judged, and go into a godless eternity. Why? Because this man, in his spirit, has passed from death to life. Well, notice the next verse. Now, I'm hurrying a little because we're going somewhere. The 25th verse then says, and truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is. This hour is on this earth. It's my lifetime, Jesus is saying. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And that verse is the fulfilling of the promise God made to Abraham when He said, you believe I can quicken the dead, Abraham? What He was saying, Abraham, do you believe I can bring a dead spirit from death to life? Abraham says, yeah, I believe you can do that. And He says, good, because righteousness is laid to your account. And Abraham, you can now call those things that be not as though they were. Which meaning, you have a spiritually dead spirit, Abraham. But if you believe I can quicken the dead, quicken Jesus' spirit from death to life, He said, I'm going to call those things that be not, which is your spiritually dead spirit, as though it was already alive, and put righteousness unto your account, and treat you as if though you already have those rights. They'll be paid in full when Jesus comes and I quicken Him from death to life, and then He gives you that life. But right now, it's only accounted. You believe I can do that, Abraham? And Abraham says, yeah, God, I believe you can do that. He says, good, because I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. And now, here's the fulfilling of that promise to Abraham. See, in this verse, He says, truly I say unto you, the hour is coming, the one I promised Abraham, that the dead, including Abraham, including Moses, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Rachel too, and Rebecca, for truly I say unto you, and Sarah, truly I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For this is the reason they'll live. In the 26th verse, this is the reason they'll live. For as the Father have life within Himself, He has given to the Son to have life within Himself. And the Son will give to them, and they will have life within Himself. And I will have fulfilled my promise to Abraham, and you shall live. God, then that means that life I have in me, just like Adam, God breathed into me, and my life took a journey from the inside of God to the inside of Jesus to the inside of me. I've become a new creation. That life that was in God, as the Father had life in Himself, He gave to the Son to have life within Himself. Now listen to me real close, please. That life wasn't created at the point that you came into existence. He said, as the Father had the life within Himself, it was already in there. So if that life was already in the Father that He gave to the Son, and the Son turned around and gave it to you, if it was already in the Father, can any of you tell me when the Father had a beginning? What does that mean? That means that life that was in him never had a beginning either. You know what that means? It never had an end. This is why when man rebelled in that life, he got, and Adam had it first. He had it first. See? The second Adam, you know, he got it second. But the first man, Adam, he had that life. And then when he entered into the rebellion with Satan, and the nature of that life changed. The problem with that life, because it had once been on the inside of God, and then because of certain attributes he had to give to humanity that were hard to be trusted with, like willpower. Just because the man rebelled and was separated from God the Father by the nature doesn't mean that that life can be terminated. That's why there's also an eternity to deal with on the wrong side of the fence. The part of that life that God could correct was the nature. Now listen to me. As that Father had life within Himself, He didn't just create the life then. That life already existed. And it caused Jesus' Spirit to go from death to life. And then, when He poured that life into you, it caused your spirit to go from death to life. That life wasn't just created. It always was with the Father, and it's on the inside of Him. Now you're His son and His daughter, and you have His life. Hallelujah. You're not God. You are His son, and you have that part of Him that gave you His nature. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, just because we're just getting a little bit deeper than we've ever went into this. Let's go back. There's some of you that hadn't been able to be in this from the beginning. And let's just go back and look at that greater works verse and John the 14th chapter for a moment. Keep your finger over here in 5. And the 20th verse of the 5th chapter, and of course, in the 14th chapter, and then the 20th verse. I don't know why I didn't pick up on this chapter a long time before I did. I looked at this verse for, 14 and 12, for all my born-again experience, and all us Pentecostals were always trying to figure out what the greater works would be that we would do also. And the works I do and greater than these, Jesus said, will we do. And us Pentecostals, you know, we're always trying to figure out what it was. And I can remember one time Tim was telling me that that question was asked when he was managing Rex Humbart's ministry. And he said it just jumped out of his spirit. Well, the greater work would be being born again. Now, you know, a lot of Pentecostal people believe that men under the Old Testament were born again on account of righteousness. And they were not. That's the whole contention of the law. The curse of the law is a man couldn't do those things. Animal sacrifice, yes, but they covered the man's sin that he couldn't walk free of until the time that Jesus came. Us Pentecostals, we didn't want to hang around the thought that the greater work would be in born again. And we didn't want to hang around that thought, because we wanted to hype ourselves up and get excited about the glory and the power and miracles and the thing that separates us from the rest of the church world. We're full of the Holy Ghost. We talk with tongues. We have miracles. And even though they declare the greater works, you know, I have yet to see a person that's done greater works per se than Jesus has done. And I'm not talking about His work of redemption. Now look at the 12th verse. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, plural. Does this sound the same? The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Now notice the word works there is in italics again. Means it wasn't there. So leaving it out. This is what he says. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these. Not works. He left the plural on the works done previously under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. So he left the plural on the works that had already been done. And he says, greater than these, all the works that was done before the rebirth, a greater work shall you do, because I go to the Father. You will administrate, you will preach and administrate a new nature. And that is the greater work, because before Jesus rose from the dead, even he could not administer that work. Hallelujah. Now, doesn't that sound like 20? In the 5th chapter, for the Father loveth the Son, showing him all things that himself doeth, and will show him greater works than these. So that was all the works and the miracles done under the Old Testament. He'll show him and show you greater. And the greater work that he's talking about is the administration of the rebirth, when God offers salvation to the entire world and asks you to carry it. All the miracles you'll do, but you'll carry a greater work, and that is you'll be an able minister of the Spirit. You'll be able to administer the faith to be born again. It's not you that heals a person. It's not you that gives them peace. You preach how to receive it from God, and God does it. It's not you that gives them the new nature inside. You minister that grace, then reach out and get it from God. That's the greater work, and you're an able minister. Do it. Whew. Glory be to God. That's what I say. Now, closing on a verse here, because I'd almost got where I was going. I wanted to follow that life from God to Jesus to you. I was going to get people up and pull that life out of God and then walk it over to Jesus and pull that same life back out of Him and put it into you. And that's the only thing God has to use. It's that life. When that life gets free, when you take it out of prison, take it out of the bondage of religion and false teaching, take it out of faithlessness, you know, and turn the Holy Ghost loose in it, you're going to walk in exploits. Glory. Don't stay where you are. Outside of the works you do for Him, it would pay you to lock up with God and fellowship with Him, pray in the Holy Ghost. But it's a sacrifice. But it is a sacrifice that'll turn God loose in you. It's your matter. Go to the 16th chapter. And I'll just give you a tidbit. A meditation bed. I don't want to leave you thinking, I already knew that. Let's kick in. The 16th verse. A little while, and ye shall not see me. 16:16. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? a little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father. Notice he said it again. I mean, they quoted him and he said it. They said it. 18th verse. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, you shall see me? That's three times they've said that now. He says, truly, truly, I say that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy a man is born into the world. You are therefore, you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. And that day he was talking about, of course, was our day. Why would he liken his trip to the cross, his death and resurrection, return to the Father, and the rebirth of the church, why would he liken that to a woman in travail, in labor and anguish, and then she delivers the child and great joy is in the family because, and I will quote, a man child is born. Can you tell me what would he liken his trip to the cross and the anguish and the death and the sorrow to the rebirth of the church? What man-child was born into the world? I hear some of you getting a little bold, but you're afraid of public. You're afraid of public criticism. I'm afraid it goes a little further than that, a browbeating. Man-child is born into the world. What is he talking about? Being born, that's right. That's right. This first creature, this first birth of the church, this first child to be born, all the anguish will be gone because this child is born into the world. He's talking about the rebirth. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, in that day, you'll have a joy. And it's a joy no man can take away from you, because you will become born of God. You will become his son because that birth has been made possible.